Who you going to the dance with anyway? Spalding?
Who's Spalding?
See?
Stupid.
That's why you ain't getting recruited.
Who said I'm not getting recruited?
Your hot ass temper, that's who.
I'm not the one who put this scar here when you're 11 years old because he was about to lose.
You know what? Give me your best shot.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Tracklist Podcast Show. I am Darren Jenkins.
And I'm Chris Saunders.
And on the show today, we're joined by someone who is particularly qualified to speak on the film we're about to do, Jessica Borgi, assistant basketball coach at Hofstra. Thank you for joining us on the show today.
Hey, how are you guys? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're looking forward to this one, huh? I'm gonna read the synopsis real
especially
quick.
Especially since she postponed on us. And now we're
really word up.
To.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna live that one down, huh?
And we're throwing people under the bus right at the beginning.
so early.
It's what I do.
Monica and Quincy love and play basketball together through many life challenges from childhood to adulthood. Directed by Gina Prince Brythewood. Budget for this film was $15 million, which I will talk about. And the box office was $27.7 million, starring Omar Epps, Sanaa Lathan, Regina Hall, Gabrielle Union, Dennis Haysbert. There's so many people in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I can't read them all, but I mean, you know.
That was Tyra Banks, fool.
Tyra Banks. I was like, what?
I'm getting my little penny on. Yeah, man. What's guy? I don't know how to pronounce his name, but Alfre
Woodard.
Yeah. From Luke Cage. Man. This thing's going on in this movie. IMDb. I don't know why I keep on talking about IMDb, but the rating for IMDb is 7.2. Rotten Tomatoes. The critics gave this 85%, and the audience gave it 95%.
Yeah.
What are critics now?
I mean, 85 is not bad. IMDb, I should
IMDb
just stop with
has
all that.
Has problems.
85 is pretty solid.
Yeah.
From critics, and then like 95. I did not expect to see 95 from the audience.
Really? Because as I'm reading about this on the internet, this movie seems like a lot of people really love this movie.
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's no question about it. When you talk from an athletics point of view, when you talk from a female point of view, and you just talk about the star-studded cast that you guys just named. I mean, for myself, it's one of the greatest movies of all time.
Whoa. I'm the one that says that shit all the time. Like, this is the greatest song of all time. This is the greatest use of light in all time. Okay, I'm stealing my role.
Dropping bombs. Okay.
This is actually also Gina Prince's Bythewood's directorial debut, apparently. So,
yeah,
this is one of the greatest of all time, well fucking done.
She was one of the writers of on A Different World. So, so you can tell where the but she's done some big stuff recently since. She directed The Old Guard with Charlize Theron, which is on Netflix.
Oh, she did that one? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I saw that one. That was pretty decent. I mean, right out the gate with this movie, you start with Al Green. You're undergoing the right direction. This is a positive start to this film with the music.
You're taking it right from where I just came from, Memphis, right?
Yep. Yeah. The minute that came on, I was like, wow, that's starting strong.
I'm locked in. Yeah. I'm locked in. When you get them high notes. I am struck. So the reason I was saying this didn't like stick with me. It wasn't locked in my memory. I remember like the promotion of this film. I remember the previews and like how much following it had. I don't know if there's ever been a movie like this. Was it a movie but like this before that or ever since? Like just this like parallel career of these two people and focusing a lot on the female character here, like playing sports, which I feel like in 2000 was probably not done enough. So I definitely understand where all this is coming from, but for some reason, like, I just didn't remember all the details of this movie. And so rewatching was actually I enjoyed it a lot more, I would say, this time around.
Mm. I saw this movie in at Tribeca when it first premiered. And I could tell you there was a lot of buzz about it in the city at the point when it came out.
Yeah, we actually were down in Virginia for a Boo Williams basketball tournament as a, you know, 17-year-old kid, and we got an early showing of it to everybody that was there for the tournament. And, you know, obviously the WNBA was just kicking off. It was kind of a female empowerment for young women. And then having the athletic aspect too. Yeah, it just hit home. And like I said, you know, it's been one of those movies that grown up with from childhood all the way through. And for me, it is imprinted in my mind. You know, you used to know every song. You flip on the soundtrack, you haven't heard it in years, and you remember the order and every song that's on it. You can remember and recite lines from it. But like you said, the promotion leading up to it too, I thought they did a great job. I still have one of the premiere posters, actually.
Oh, wow.
I you know what? I didn't even think about it coinciding with like the jump off of the WNBA. Like, we got next. I remember all that, the campaign for that too. So yeah, I mean, that was very timely and probably good co-promotion. And I mean, this is really cool how they, you know, they just, it's very like chronological, this film, right? They start when the two kids are young. Forget the main character's name, female character's name, but
Monica.
Monica. Moves in next door. I mean, I just remembered Quincy's face, like his mom is like talking to Monica's mom, and like she's talking about how she loves to cook, and I just you see Quincy's face, he like scrunches it up, he's like I was kind of dying already because I feel like my mom said that shit, I would do the same thing.
I feel like this movie was the pantheon for entering and leaving the house in a window. I think this is like the Mount Everest of doing that, because I remember doing stuff like that when I was a kid. But you know, and you don't see it as often because most people don't live on first floors. And if they live in New York with on first floors, they got bars on their window. So I think.
Yeah, I wasn't climbing in the window on the 10th floor of my career. I'll tell you that right now. And there was no fire escape either. So, yeah, I mean, but I loved like how they build the story and build their relationship, like. That's exactly how like motherfuckers would have acted. I mean, maybe I don't know when this is supposed to take place, actually, but this film came out in 2000. Like, I know, like when I was young and if a girl walked on the court, I probably would have the same reaction. Are you a girl and shit, and like be insulted she was on the court with me. Now I know better. Because Jess and I went to Lafayette together, and I would pick up with the girls' team all the time, and like fundamentally, y'all just. Much better than some of the dudes, man.
Yes,
I'll tell you from firsthand experience.
Yes. I actually, in college, I coached a women's intramural team, and I can tell you straight off, they were so much like, they were so easy to kind of coach because they wanted to learn. They wanted to do, they followed directions. And so it was, this hit home for me on so many different levels. And this movie is so ahead of its time because of how this story is constructed. At no point do you feel like Monica is weak and that she's kind of just like the typical tropes that they would normally give to those characters back then. This is a
But they talk about it, right?
Yeah, they
talk about it though with her mom and her relationship with her mom and like how she views her, and then like essentially I feel like that's a catalyst for the way she lives her life, right? Like, I'm not going to be put in the box envelope.
Yeah.
It was so weird to see Alfre Woodard play that role. I mean, cuz she usually plays like these really strong characters, but
well, I mentioned Luke Cage. Yeah. She's literally gangster in that fucking show. But yeah, so I love how they built that all up. I wrote down, like, I kind of got a My Girl vibe, you know, like Macaulay Culkin and that can't remember the other actress. I kind of got the My Girl vibe when we're looking at them when they're young. But like, Quincy moves fast. He moves fast in this
yeah,
movie,
man. Right?
He's like he's trying to lock her up after day one. Like, Jesus,
you want to be my girlfriend?
That shit was crazy, and then they start fucking rolling down the hill, fighting. I don't, you know what? There was some crazy shit happening, but you know what? I feel like it was written pretty true to form. Like, I feel like that's what kids would be doing.
It was a great fight, and she got some good looks in. So, you know, she beat his ass basically.
And she knocked some sense into him a little later too when he was in college. She had a great character throughout.
I liked her. I really enjoyed her character.
Yeah, I mean, again, we just talked about like how it really looks at gender roles in the film, and the stuff we're still talking about now, right? Like, I mean, it's kind of like evolved to like LGBTQ and like trans and everything, but like this is very much talking about that, like her mom tells her to do something with her hair and like to smile more. And then the whole conversation about women getting penalized for acting the same way as men do on the court. This conversation happened with Serena Williams like 2 years ago, right?
It happened this year in the NCAA tournament too, right? You got the Barbie down in LSU and Angela Reese talking shit, and everybody's like, what are you doing, right? She should be teed up. And then you got Caitlin Clark doing it. And, you know, again, you're talking from a race standpoint, from a female gender standpoint. I do think, like we talked about earlier, it was just ahead of its time. And it's a shame that we're still talking about those things.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is. Am I the only one who misses Sanaa Lathan on screen? You don't see her as often as you'd like. I was just like, wow, she was so good in this movie.
She's just beautiful. You know, she just kind of fits all the roles. Didn't she just have a movie or a TV show that she came out with not too long ago?
Yeah, she's working. It's just, she was an American Assassin. I think she was in, Now You See Me Too. So.
Yeah, but she was just in The Best Man.
Best Man, yeah.
That final chapter one, that I haven't seen it, so I can't comment, but I know she was in that.
Yeah, which is a sequel to the one she did back in 99.
Yes, one of the greats. Yeah. That's a great one.
Yeah.
It was funny because I was also listening to the soundtrack before I watched the movie, and as I'm listening to it, I'm like, this is a basketball scene. This is a basketball scene. I was able to like pick out, because I couldn't remember the film exactly, but as I'm listening to the soundtrack, it's like, okay, you know, if it's a hip hop song, most likely it's going to be turned up when they're playing.
Yeah.
Al Green is a great, but like, even throughout, like in high school and everything, when we're doing it in college, it was part of our warm up tapes. Like, this was like, get hyped. You're getting hyped to slow music, but you correlated it with the scenes from the movies. And we're able to kind of get hyped that way, I guess. It Takes Two.
When I used to work this one company, and every morning when you come in, the first thing we would do was play Love and Happiness really as loud as possible in the office.
It's funny because I remember back in college, they let us put together our own mixtape for warm-ups. And we, you know, me and like Rob Dill and Andre Capuchin, we put together this mixtape. Now, I was just putting together shit I liked, but then like we're warming up one day and I'm realizing, oh shit, there's this like TOK song in our mix, and it's just like cursing all over the place.
I remember that.
And I'm like, oh man, there's kids at this game. What are we doing, man? Hopefully they couldn't understand the Jamaican accents, but we taking that one out.
I do remember that song. That was not an appropriate song.
No, it was Get Low, right? Get Low, Get Low. From the window to the wall. It was like a remix.
Oh my God, dude.
As sweat runs down, drips down my balls. Yeah, that was not a good one. What I did love was, you know, going into like, as Monica gets, at both of them get older, looking at Monica's first game, they did that first person view with the camera. I really liked, I really enjoyed that. Like, it actually got me like, oh shit, yeah, like, okay, what's going on this side of the court? Like, I was like, the first person part, like, really got me into the scene.
That's the
thing about this movie
is this a movie, a sports film? Like, it's a true sport. Like, it's a love story, but it's a true sports film to me. Like, that's why I kind of wanted you on here, because, you know, when we do sports films, I want to, like, gut check whether, you know, does it look good? Like, is it real? You know, how's their game? You know, the whole bit.
Well, that's where I'll... Lathan had not played basketball at all before this, so she learned and trained and like for this movie. Mm. Man, you know me. We what did we do? Above the Rim.
Yeah.
I just like Quincy. that form ain't all that good. You know, I'm just sitting here criticizing, like, you know.
But you know what's funny? Like, even as a coach, like, I find myself still using some of those quotes from the movie, right? Like, point guard sleep from the front. Yeah, like, you know, it's like when she holds her head, she's running back, like, get your ass back on D. Like, what you doing celebrating the play? Like, you know, so I think it's funny that those things are so embedded in your mind, you don't even realize it in the moment, that subconsciously you are using quotes from Love and Basketball.
I mean, if I was a coach, I'd be using quotes from Cool Runnings.
Oh my God.
Of course.
Like, hey man, how you doing? You good? Yeah. You know, my grandfather used to say, get back to work. No, you know.
I thought you were gonna say the pride. I see pride.
No, they can't.
Badass mother.
Only if I get a Jamaican person on my team. But yeah. Oh, do we all catch the cheerleaders?
I was just like,
dude, I didn't remember the second part of that shit. Yeah. I remember like, U-G-L-Y, you ain't got no alibi, you ugly. You catch the second part of it? Yeah. Like, the other cheerleaders responded like, M-A-M-A, I see how you got the way, yo mama. I had to pause that. I had to go over to Anderson and be like, yo, check out what they just said. She's like, go away.
Yeah. Those
all right. So now I got a question for Jess then.
Okay.
This is a very serious question. There's a scene where Quincy's playing and like people are watching, but they're specifically focused on girls watching. When you first watched this movie, did you think Quincy's booty was so nice you wanted to lick the sweat off of it?
Oh my God. Inquiring
minds
want to know.
Save that all for Monica.
Yeah, I objectively, I didn't think his booty looked that good. So I don't know what she was talking about.
I think both of them are very beautiful human beings, though. I did enjoy watching them on screen. There's no question.
There's a lot of good looking people in this school. I'm like, what school are you guys going to?
Right?
Yeah, man. Well, you know, there's movies for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I also felt like I was kind of, I don't know if the word is swindled into watching this movie. Because it's like, it is like this romance. It's a romance film. Like, I don't know if you want to call it rom-com. It's not super, it's not a lot of comedy in here. But like, then they put basketball in and of course I got to watch it now. So, you know, can't we just have a basketball movie? Like Hoosiers. We should do Hoosiers. No, got to do this. Okay, we'll stick with Love and Basketball.
So,
yeah. Oh well, one, I don't think Hoosiers has a soundtrack, but
yeah, I was about to say.
Then there's the whole thing with the all white team being the all black team. Bullshit.
When is somebody gonna do a WNBA movie?
Juana Mann.
But
we're having conversations about that shit now too, right?
Yeah.
So that movie was ahead of its time as well.
Yeah, I don't really.
Except he wasn't trans. He was just trying to like take advantage. But still, yeah. But going back to this film, like I don't think I really appreciated the performances in this movie when I was a kid. That's why I said like this time around, like I definitely enjoyed this film more. Of course, we do it for the podcast, so you have more critical eye. And like the performances are amazing, like from Quincy to Monica to like Quincy's dad to Monica's dad, like everything, like just so many great performances. Like the weakest link is probably Tyra Banks, but you know, I'm not really expecting much out of her.
I don't know. My weak link is the Spanish coach. I couldn't stand what he was saying, so you know.
I don't even remember a Spanish coach. So
when Monica has no idea what's being said the entire time.
I was like, is anybody going to translate for this? Because
when they're in Spain. Oh, when she, man, you jumping all over the place.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I didn't, he was my weak link. So there you go.
Really? I thought the passion was there. So, you know, whatever he was saying, he was delivering it well.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, then, you know, so we get them all through like high school and like getting like, you know, their respective careers in high school, but like we don't get a lot of high school, but like dealing with like, you know, being successful, but like Monica has to deal with like being a female and not getting the same treatment as the men, whatever. And then they eventually both get into like college and she's still dealing with the same shit. But for me, like, you know, I'm watching this and that's like kind of part of it's that where my experience ends, where I'm like, well, I didn't get recruited like these two jabronis. So for example, like she's a rookie. She's like the first freshman in college. And like, essentially there's a form of hazing that I didn't get when I was going to college. I don't know if Jess, if you experienced that at all.
You keep all those on the DL, right? We just don't need to speak about those.
Well, yeah, but I didn't have to deal with that. But I'm sure other players who were 4 years and weren't walk-ons like myself had to deal with it. So, yeah, I'm sure it happens. You hear about that shit all the time.
Not me.
All right. Well, none of us had to deal with that. Great. But definitely can relate to the practice and the weight training shit. Although, did anyone ever drop a fucking barbell across you? Bench press?
That ever happened.
Yeah. My Lord.
Yeah.
That's probably a what the fuck moment.
Yeah. A little bit. I mean, a little bit.
The avenue there?
No.
You were too strong for that.
I was like, are you kidding me? It's too pretty for that. No, I'm kidding.
Got it.
Get the
no, they just
anyway.
Yeah, I just ran out of the locker room quick, so that's why I did it. So.
It's funny. I don't remember the last time we've had all three people on the podcast with the same experience, all collegiate athletes.
Yeah, unless you're, yeah. On our podcast, nobody, right? Right?
I don't know. Maybe I'm just forgetting people, but. Okay. So, any, like, notable scenes, Jess, that you, like, really enjoyed in this film, whether it be playing or just their relationship?
I think in the beginning, I think you touched on it a little bit earlier, when they're kids and she gets to the court for the first time and they don't want to let her in. And I mean, I think at least speaking from myself, dealt with that at the same time, still even sometimes today, you know, but definitely can speak back on some noon hoops that we would play. And the guys look at me like, the hell are you trying to do getting out here? I'm like, yeah, shut up. Let's go. You know, and I think every female basketball player has experienced that moment at some point, whether it's at that age or whether it's older, you know, so I think that one's relatable. I think like we spoke about, you know, obviously the get back on defense with the hand, you know, she's just enjoying her made shot, not getting her ass back on defense. I think that's another one, just from a basketball perspective. And then on the track, right? Point guards lead from the front. I was definitely the very slow, unathletic guard. So I think I would hear that a lot. You know, I didn't have her athleticism. I think those are relatable. And then obviously the end scene, you know, what do you want to do? You know, double or nothing, play for your heart.
That part is what that's
like, come on now. That tugs on, you know, every, I think every female, and just, you know, seeing them go through their struggles, through their ups and downs, Quincy go through the injury, them distance themselves to then finding their way back to each other, and to make it into such a moment, I think a romantic moment from a cinematic perspective, and then flipping it to the first WNBA game, and you know she's playing in it, and the baby's in the stands, and I think those are all. Those are probably some of my most memorable moments.
I do have to say, you know, what do you want to play for? Your heart? Like, that, I mean, it's a pretty cheesy line. Like, I have to say, man, it's pretty darn cheesy. I get it.
Amazing. So amazing.
I get it. But, you know.
Double or nothing, baby.
I think, yeah, no, that's a good line. That's a good line. That one's good. But I feel like, you know, if that was remade, if this movie was remade today,
what would be the line?
I don't know. I'd have to think on that one. I didn't give that proper thought. I just came here to criticize. But yeah, I mean, I liked as like dark as it is. I really liked the so in this film we find out that Quincy's dad is cheating on his mom, and he lies to Quincy about that. And then I guess the scene where Quincy is talking to Monica, and like she has curfew. She has to go back to her dorm to prepare for like the next day's game. And he takes that personally, and then like he acts up like bringing another girl around and everything. Mm. And that interaction with them, where he essentially breaks up with her. He's being like a real dick about it. Like it's written really well, right? Like that emotional response to his dad's infidelity versus, you know, at his age versus like his girlfriend, like having priorities, like it's logical what she's saying, what she's doing, but you know, that emotional, response is like written really well. So I really like that interaction, that scene.
Yeah. And I think we see the true strength of the director at that in this moment, because in a lot of other movies, they would have had her stay. They would have had her quit the team for him. They would have had all, you know what I mean? And I think it shows a real dedication to the storyline to kind of say, you know what, this is important to her. And just because she's busy doesn't mean she doesn't care, you know. So they had to kind of balance her weakness with her strength a lot in this movie. I think they did a really great job of kind of keeping her on track, because I think it turns into a whole different story if she stays. You know what I mean? And that's, you know, that's kind of like the usual tropes that you're gonna do.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not a damsel in distress kind of film.
Right.
It's not that Disney princess shit.
Right.
So yeah, definitely. I mean, listen, like, I do the same damn thing.
Yeah.
I got curfew. Like, I'll see you tomorrow when we both have time. Like, shit.
Right.
Anyway, I'm with Monica. Which leads to doesn't really lead to, but this is one of our segments, Jess, called "So Hold Up." I had to do the math on this one. When Omar Epps filmed this movie, he was 27, playing a college student, a high school student.
Yeah, 16 to 20-year-old.
Okay, just checking. All right, cool. Just wanted to verify that. And it also took me a second to realize that they were like that. The acts of this film were quarters.
Yeah,
when it hit the third quarter is when I noticed.
I noticed in the fourth quarter. I was like, fourth quarter? What the?
When did that happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little slow on the uptake.
So that was pretty cool. So what were the quarters? Like childhood, high school, college, and professional careers?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I think that's cool. I think it's a cool way to divvy up the film.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I ask, do we believe that should she have gotten that technical in the beginning of the movie when she stares down? Like, I was like, are you kidding me?
No.
No, I think that's where we go back to what we were discussing earlier, right? And the gender norms that we're still, you know, fighting against today. When you got Angel Reese, when you got Caitlin Clark, when you got all them doing the same thing that men do, and we're getting teed up for it. And the men, it's like, oh, that's just part of the game, yeah. You know?
Like that thing that players do now in the NBA when like they're in the weight room where they dunk on you, and they do that little thing where they.
Yeah,
they're too little. And they put their hand close to the ground. Like, why is that not a technical?
Right, right.
Just because you don't look at the player, like that's the whole thing, right? So maybe that answers the question, right? She's staring down the player, looking directly at them.
But I
feel like,
yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like in 2000, that had not been established yet.
Mm.
I feel like that was later
from what perspective?
Like the whole like yelling at people, like. Screaming in their faces and staring them down. I feel like the rule to make that a technical foul was not in 2000. I feel like that was a little later.
I mean, I think you're still talking about the same point. Think about Allen Iverson stepping over Tyronn Lue, right? That picture's ingrained in everybody's head.
That's one of amazing.
My favorite moments. Philly fan,
right? Lue is the most annoying fucking he deserved that shit.
But I think that was still acceptable, right? From a men's perspective.
Yeah.
Hey, I ain't getting teed up for that, right?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Well, and that's 2000. That was in the 2000 NBA playoffs finals.
Yeah.
So
same
time as this film.
Yeah. So it's very valid fucking argument.
Hey.
Like we're saying. And now it's now 23 years later and we're still talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I got a question. I was looking at the cast list for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Kobe Bryant is listed on there. How in the hell did anyone
I didn't really see him, but I saw the trivia for this. It's because like Quincy plays for the Lakers, and apparently
that's what
Kobe is in the background somewhere.
That's what I was thinking it was too. I wasn't sure, but
I
saw that too, and he's like number six on the cast list, right? I'm like, okay,
that's cool.
Hey, I don't care. Give credit to the greatest ever.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa! Slow your roll.
Again, Philly's finest. All about
Philly's. He's actually from Marion, Southside. But never mind. Don't worry about it. Well, we had another college mate, who actually went to school with him at like Marion High School or whatever. Some shit.
Lower Marion. So,
now he's from Lower Mary. He's not from Philly. Okay, get your story straight.
Hey, that's right. Also,
guess what? Michael Jordan was born in Brooklyn. Booyah! the actual greatest.
Get out of here.
You want to take us outside, my brother?
You know I would.
This is another. This is a whole different other podcast. Suddenly,
this is called Chris and Jess Face Off. And so, unprecedented, we have a second segment of, so hold up.
Oh.
Yeah. So, going to their professional careers, Monica is playing in Spain or Italy, whatever, or they're playing she's in Italy playing a Spanish team in like a championship game.
Yep.
And she doesn't know that her college teammate is on the other team. There's no scouting report. They bumped into each other in the hallway, and she's like, "Oh, what are you doing here? Like, what?"
Yeah,
I can't say that happened today.
That's what I'm saying. The coach was not good. I mean, you don't even know who's
playing. Oh, okay. So it's the coach's fault. Okay. I mean, I'll take that. All right. Now I agree that he's the weakest link.
Maybe it was in a different language. He couldn't read it. So there you go.
Yeah.
Right, we didn't have a gig. You win, Darren.
It was VHS at the time, you know, so tape exchange didn't exist.
Yeah, there you go.
And cross country lines.
It's 2000, remember? She had VHS tapes. Something happened.
Man, there was DVDs in 2000. Shit. I brought a bunch of DVDs to college.
Not for game days. Dude, when I got into coaching, we were still in VHS.
Oh, man.
Yeah. We're old now.
There you go.
Speak for yourself. So this is one thing I like to talk about a lot, is subtlety, in acting. And this fucking movie is just like littered with it. It's just so well done. When, like, we talked about the scene where Quincy breaks up with Monica, where he's like struggling to keep eye contact. It's just like that little thing. Like, you really, like, especially an 18-year-old, right, or a 19-year-old, like, you could definitely, that's something they would do. Monica, pretty much the whole movie, just subtlety all over the place. Mm-hmm. But even, like, again, Morgan and Haysbert.
Yeah.
Actually, Wood and Morgan, like, all these actors, I just loved it. The look in Camille's eyes after she smacks Monica, that's Monica's mom. Like, even that subtlety, and then the transition to her, like, her memory, like, remembering something. Like, it's just, I don't know. I was just, like, taken aback. So that's why those are the kind of things I was appreciating this time around when rewatching the film.
No, there was a lot. There's a lot of what you'd call, like, the little moments that to kind of add up to, like, some really good acting on screen. I got a lot of questions, though. So,
is this for our final questions, or is this general questions?
Just general questions, you know.
All right, things that make you go, hmm.
That
should be a new segment. All right, here we go. New segment, things that make you go, hmm. What you got there?
Are you jumping out of a window after you've got a torn ACL?
No.
Okay. Definitely not.
Okay. That's what I was going to say. I haven't had one, so. But
you have any harder questions?
Are you playing basketball? Well, okay, I won't go down that road. Never mind. Carry on.
Well, I just rolled my ankle on a Sunday, and it was like, I hate when people say it blew up like a tennis ball, but like it was actually.
It looked like a tennis ball under your skin, man.
Yeah, and I am seriously considering playing tomorrow, so I feel all right. But my wife will not let me, so that's not going to happen.
Good for you, her.
Good for her, not for me. Yeah. Any other? You had a bunch of questions, Darren.
No, I got. We'll carry on. I may have more later.
Well, I mean, we've kind of like covered like the whole storyline and like some key scenes in the film. We haven't really talked about the music. So, like, we mentioned like Love and Happiness, Al Green out the fucking gates. Mm-hmm. My Prerogative, Bobby Brown. At the dance when they were younger.
Mm-hmm. Hold on.
Talk about I Want to Be Your Man.
I Want to Be Your Man.
I'll go.
But by Roger, the most interesting fucking stage name of all time.
Oh,
word?
Yeah, exactly. He's like forming in a bar. Like,
wow.
Yeah, how the times have changed, right? 23 years later. But
yeah, I mean,
Shaka Khan, like, I mean, the soundtrack is phenomenal.
I was going to say, like, yeah, this is a very good and hard, like, we have questions at the end. I don't know how to answer some of these questions. Because the soundtrack is really good.
Yeah, this is like I'm glad we actually did have this on our list, but I'm glad that you recommended it, Jess, because we just weren't getting around to it. And here we are. So this is definitely overdue for us to get to this film. I don't know if you're going to remember. Don't say I'll play for your heart. Any favorite quotes? Any other favorite quotes from the film?
I think, the part where little Monica, she's like, you're stupid. You know, they're fighting and whatever. She's like, you're stupid. Your daddy plays for the worst team in the NBA. It's like, huh? Like, yeah, the last time they won, Dr. J was a nurse. Like, I'd always think that's a great one. Oh, you know?
Yeah.
And then the one about who do you want to go to the dance with, right? Spalding. I think there's some other great quotes in there throughout the movie as well.
There are a few, actually.
When the mom's asking her if she'll grow out of the tomboy phase, she's like, I won't. I'm a lesbian.
I thought that was hilarious.
The mom's like, that's not funny. She's like, that's what you think, though, because I'd rather wear a jersey than an apron. Like, mm-hmm. I just think it goes back to those gender norms we were talking about. I just think it's hilarious, too.
Well, that girl, the girl from high school, Shawnee, when she says to Monica, damn, girl, I didn't know Nike made dresses.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Oh, man.
It was like very early on when Quincy's young with his parents. Uh-huh. He's like, I can't do this shit. And his dad's like, what did I tell you about using that word? Can't shouldn't be in a man's vocabulary.
Oh, and don't say shit.
Yeah. I think there's some memorable quotes, plenty of them. You know,
I mean, this is so we talked about like we'll play for your heart. Here's another fucking line that could probably have been omitted from the movie. When they're playing one on one in the bedroom on the toy hoop, mm-hmm. and she's like, where's the D? And he's butt naked and he's like, it's right here.
Hold on. I mean, if we're going to go there, though, it's like, why she got to be a hoe? Because she sent her coochie through the mail.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I think those lines were used in college quite a few times, you know, so.
We also have a segment like called "What the Fuck" moments. Was there any scene or part of this film that just made you go "What the fuck" when you were watching it?
I don't know. That's a tough one for me to answer. I don't think so. I mean, he mentions jumping out the window with an ACL and things like that. I mean, obviously, that's not going to happen.
So you're saying this is a perfect film?
Absolutely, 95%.
Get the fuck out! Get the fuck out of here! So I'll tell you one thing that you already brought up on the fast break. Well, first of all, fast break 3-pointer.
Yeah.
That's where she has to follow through, but she's getting penalized for follow. They tell you to follow through. She followed through.
She's been watching. She better get her ass back on D. She better know that shit's going in and get your ass back on D.
I don't know, man. I was taught to follow through.
I appreciate it follow through though.
Well, better. You know, it's funny y'all mentioned not seeing Sana Lathan in anything else and many other things. What the fuck moment for me was me realizing she plays Blade's mom in the first Blade film.
You sure?
It's really? it's just flashbacks of like when Blade is born and like she's bitten by the and it's just her like dying.
That seems like a waste of
talent. Oh, but she does come back at the end of the film. But yeah, she's in it for about 5 minutes. So yeah, definitely a waste of talent.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, Darren, you got a what the fuck moment? Or is this also a perfect film in your
eyes? Oh, it's a no. I mean, I mentioned obviously the jumping out the window and the playing with the ACL, which I was like, what? Seriously? Okay, Aaron Rodgers.
But Aaron Rodgers done.
Only real what the fuck moment was when Tyra comes on the screen. I was just like, what? Wait, what? No, no, no. And then when she sticks the ring out like this, I'm like, when she's like, look, I was like, girl, you want to get beat, because I feel like, you know.
You don't remember the man, what were those commercials for, man?
For what?
With Penny Hardaway, was it sneakers or was it like Pepsi? And he had little Penny.
Oh, that was the sneakers. That was Nike. Yeah,
that was his Nike. Yeah, that was his phone call. Yeah.
Little Penny and like Tyra Banks is in one of the ads, and like little Penny's like, "What you doing? That was Tyra Banks, fool!" Like that's the only thing that popped in my head when she was on the screen.
I was like, "Wow, she doesn't fit in here." Okay.
So we're taking half a point off this film. For Tyra Banks being in. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm gonna have
Tyra and Toby. Have we agreed?
Yeah. If Michael Jordan was in it, it'd be like 11. But no,
I got you. Not.
Sorry.
We'll be talking about like Oscars and all kinds of stuff.
Are we? Do we want to talk about anything before we get to our final questions? Anything else we want to chat about?
Let's see. I think we can get to our final questions.
Okay, here we go. So we usually ask about a particular actor, if they could be in the film, would they make it better? I think it's apt that we choose Will Smith this time. could Will Smith be in this film? In what role? And would he make it better?
Wow.
I have so much.
I guess we're just talking all Philly now today, right?
Yeah, there you go. You're welcome.
I guess I walked into that one, huh? No, because he can't be in it. Because nobody would want to play for his heart.
you don't want Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Will Smith in this?
No. If he couldn't keep Jada, he sure can't keep Sana.
Oh, you know he listens to our podcast all the time, right?
Maybe make sure I mark that section. I'm putting that in.
Yeah, perfect. Going viral, baby.
Hashtag viral.
Okay, Darren, do you agree? No, Will Smith.
I just can't. I mean, have we ever seen him play basketball on screen?
Yes, in fucking Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Yeah,
that's why he got in the play.
That doesn't count. Right. But
that doesn't count, man. He was like the best player on his team.
Yeah.
He played. Who did he play? There's some dude in that that made not even a cameo. It was when he was young. I'm not gonna remember. Anyway, yes, we have.
I will say no.
One of the backup players on his high school team.
Maybe he could be number six on the Lakers or something.
He can
Eddie Jones. He can be Eddie Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how I remember that dude's number. All right.
I just don't see.
So, I thought we usually ask about again a specific song. And if it would fit into the soundtrack. And I really thought we used to start out with Eric Clapton's Tears in Heaven, which always seems to be tongue in cheek. But we started asking about Blackstreet's Don't Leave Me. Could that be in the soundtrack and in what scene?
Mm. I think it's important. You were going to put it anywhere for me, it's when, you know, he's throwing his little temper tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would put it there. He's known as Temperton in college.
I completely agree. And I think it's like this very similar era of all the other songs in this film. So like I think it fits really well.
Yeah.
I do.
Don't leave me, girl. Sorry. I'm actually surprised they didn't have like other artists in there. I wrote down Maxwell, but he's a woman's work is in there, but
Maxwell is not even on the soundtrack though.
Right, it just plays. It's not even in the official one.
Yeah, there were a couple others that I'd have to look, but I know. I mean, obviously Maxwell's the most famous one, but
yeah, I in fact, because of that, I actually had like a follow up question, which is like, do you think there's any other artists that could be in the soundtrack that like maybe they missed out on?
Joe.
Joe. Yeah. I had two in mind.
Who are you thinking?
Like D'Angelo? D'Angelo, yeah. And Bilal could have been in this fucking... Maybe they're too similar to Maxwell, but like, I don't know.
Fresh Prince.
In Westfield.
Yeah.
Chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool and all, shooting some b-ball outside of the school. He talks about b-ball, son.
Yeah.
I don't know how you missed that. But anyone else? I mean, I feel like we could have used some like, what, Tupac? When he goes to play for the Lakers, a little West Coast.
Life Jennings. I feel like Life Jennings. Mm. Life Jennings, Music Soul Child.
Music Soul Child. Yeah, okay. Mm. Yeah. It's funny because like this soundtrack isn't like huge, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And like we've done movies where there's like 30, 40 songs in the soundtrack, and I feel like we could have squeezed a few more in here. But
I do agree with that. Yeah. But I like Life Jennings. Life would be, yeah.
Okay. And then this is, you have to think about this one. This is a two-part question. What is your favorite song in the soundtrack? And what song do you think encompasses the storyline of the film?
Oh, man. I'm going to say Sweet Thing. I just feel like I love it. I love Chaka Khan. Mm-hmm. Like her voice throughout it. She just, from the beginning, like they are each other's sweet thing. And I think that really encompasses the story, the trials, the tribulations, the ups and downs of relationships. I think that song most encompasses the movie.
I have never had somebody
recommend
a song that is now my answer. So I, really? I just looked up the lyrics too.
For Rufus.
For Sweet Thing.
Yeah.
Like that song is wow.
Because actually
what are you guys?
I didn't write an answer down until now. I was looking at like a woman's work, you know, because I feel like it works on a couple of levels. Like, you know, it's a love song, but it's also like she's putting in work, right? Monica's putting in work. So, you know, for me, just like I'm just putting my own thought into that one. But actually, looking at the lyrics for "Sweet Thing," I would absolutely agree with you on that. As far as the song that's your favorite song, right?
No, that was the one you said most encompasses.
Okay, right? So I definitely agree with that.
My favorite song, I mean, yes, I think This Woman's Work is definitely probably one of the most memorable. But like for me, putting on the soundtrack today and really listening to it, I gotta say, I Want to Be Your Man. I love that song.
It's a hard question considering this this soundtrack, like My Prerogative. But come on, man, can't go wrong there neither.
But again, that's not really on the soundtrack though. That song's.
Well,
So Woman's Work, My Prerogative, like, yeah, they're great songs, but they're not actually on the soundtrack. So if I'm looking strictly at this soundtrack, the movie is encompassed by a Sweet Thing, and I Want to Be Your Man or Holding Back the Years are two favorite songs on it. And that's even coming from Memphis, you know. I love Sal Green.
I think we do allow this. We should really clarify this, but like songs that appear in the film, right? Like when we say soundtrack, yeah, that's exactly what, when they release a fucking album and there's a specific list, yeah,
if it's on the track list,
the soundtrack,
the track list is always different than the soundtrack.
Correct Yeah,
so we will allow other answers outside of just the soundtrack. But even that being said, like my favorite is probably Love and Happy. I feel like you can't shun Al Green.
Yeah.
Darren, would you?
My favorite song is "Love and Happiness" because I think it just set the tone for the movie. Very, you know, like a perfect song to kind of kick things off with.
I don't like where this is going, Darren. We've talked about this like the last like 10 films, and me and Darren are having the exact same fucking rating for the movie. So pick a new favorite song.
Nah, but my song that I think encompasses the film, and I don't know, I mean, this for me was Holding Back the Years, the version from Angie Stone.
Absolutely.
Because I felt it was a lot about them trying to kind of battle like the slipping of time as their relationship kind of changes over time. Because he even says, you know, look, it's 5 years, you know, and I mean, that 5 years on screen went real fast. I was like, five years already? Okay.
I think Holding Back the Years, obviously I said it was one of my favorite songs on the soundtrack, but I think when you talk encompassing the whole movie, I think that really encompasses that third, you know, to the beginning of the fourth quarter. I don't know if I would give that the whole.
Well, see, whole that's movie, because yeah. Darren didn't even know there were quarters. So.
As usual, and as our guest has proven, Darren is always wrong. Yeah, that just happened. All right, final question. On a range of 0 to 10, what do you rate this film? 10 being the highest.
I mean, I would probably go in a 9.5.
Woo! Wow.
I told you from the beginning, you know, I mean, it's for me and encompassing my life, this is one of the most influential movies of my life. And I think it was so wonderfully directed. I think it was so greatly written. The cast throughout was phenomenal. And it's something that I believe is timeless. I think even when I talk to my players nowadays, a lot of their favorite movie, they weren't even born in 2000. And their favorite movie is Love and Basketball. So I think it's a timeless movie. I think it was ahead of its time. I think it talks about female empowerment. I think it talks about the gender norms. I think it just, I think it was greatly done.
Brilliant. Darren?
Not quiet.
Darren, just give it a 4, all right?
So I give this a 2. No, I'm kidding. Will this movie ever be remade, you think? Anyone, you think someone?
Please don't. Please don't.
So to me, it's kind of part of the legacy this film has. Is I think it's going to be very difficult for them to remake.
Yeah.
Because it was already ahead of its time. And to get this kind of cast together right now, this would be a $70 million film. To kind of try to repeat this that cast. So,
well, I think Disney can do it.
Yeah,
you just take all the Marvel characters, actors, and put them in there.
Oh, that'd be don't give them any ideas. I give this movie an 8.
Still what's too missing? Close, Darren.
Yeah, what's it missing in your mind?
I don't think it's missing
explosions.
Anything.
Explosions, there.
Yes, there you go. Explosions.
Michael Bay directing the film.
It was hardly produced by Disney. This movie. I don't understand.
you need Disney, Michael Bay.
Yeah.
And
or Taika Waititi. And
there you go. Yeah. Boom.
I don't think anything was missing necessarily. I just think if it were me, the basketball seems just to be a little bit tighter. Otherwise, I think it was a good, just fantastic film.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's maybe that's just too critical of a point of view. Like, I agree, it's just, as a basketball player, you're always going to look at that shit and be like, she ain't getting by me. He ain't getting by right, me like with it. Those fucking moves, right? Like, I'm that's just going to the rafters if he takes that on me, right? So that's like, you know, we are rating this based on like our preferences. So right. Like, that's fine.
Right.
I thought it was really good pacing for this film. Mm. I've said that so many times in the last few days. We've been watching some pretty well-directed films and edited films. It didn't feel like a two-hour film. Again, you know, we're basing this stuff off of like our own experience. So like, it's a basketball film. Like, I identify with that a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the story. Jess knows my first girlfriend in college, Ashley, was also a basketball player. So we were kind of in these similar situations where like, she was recruited. I was a walk-on. Like, she got dropped from the team. I walked on to the team. Like, these ups and downs of that relationship and like playing, being an athlete, I can very much identify with. So like, I'm like reliving like college when they're doing this. Again, like when I first watched this, I wasn't quite in college yet. Right. So, I have different experiences now that I'm like rewatching this with a different lens. And so, and of course this podcast creates a whole new lens as well. So, the acting, the again, the subtlety, right? I don't always want like an Al Pacino yelling at the top of his voice in the film. So I love the subtlety, minus the cheesy ass lines that I aforementioned cheesy ass lines, and then the soundtrack. What is it missing for me? Probably not missing, but maybe you could have taken out those cheesy ass lines. I don't know. Just, sometimes it's just not your type of film. So, and that being said, it's a great film. Like, I'm still giving it an 8.5, but that's why it's not reaching a 9.5 or a 10, because it's just like, you know, I wouldn't rewatch this over and over again. Let's put it that way. And again, I feel like I'm still way too close to Darren.
Yeah, I think you're closer to me though in that one.
What's that?
I think you're closer to me in that one, you know, 9.5.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get up there, boy.
So, but yeah, I mean, I enjoy rewatching this. So thank you again, Jess, for recommending it.
Absolutely. Glad.
Good times. I would definitely recommend everyone else to watch this fucking movie if you haven't yet.
So that would be my only real criticism, and it's not the film's fault, but it's barely, you can barely find it on streaming, and that is a shame.
But I think it's on TV like every other night though, but I know nowadays everybody's cutting the cord.
Yeah,
but it is on TV. I feel like at every time I'm in a hotel room, it's on.
Oh really? Oh wow.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah. I do not frequent hotels as much as Jess does.
Yeah, that is true.
I haven't been to a hotel since.
Jess, the season is almost here. So that's what you're up to right now, right?
Yeah, so it's up to first scrimmage this weekend. We opened down at VCU on the 7th. So we're just a couple weeks out. So
nice.
How ready to go. Good. We actually had a really good practice this morning. So kids are locked in. You know, they're obviously excited to go against somebody besides themselves. So it's kind of, you know.
You need any guest coaches?
Just some guest players, you know. Bring the scrubs out of retirement, you know.
Scrubs? I don't know no scrubs. I'll let you know if I think of one.
Okay. Fair enough. No, just the injured reserve, the IR.
Hey, man. I still got it. I still got it where it counts.
Yeah.
Man, I can't dunk anymore, but I still got it where it counts.
You still got the bunnies? That was what he was best for.
I can rebound. I can't dunk.
Yeah.
But I showed him them veteran moves, some old man moves.
Okay, got it. The turnaround jumper, right?
Turnaround jumper, pump fake, a little Lajuan, dream shake. Yeah, man.
Nice.
Cool. Anything else? What are you, anything else you're excited about, or just basketball? 100%.
Yes, it's pretty much locked in time now. You know, just ready to get this thing going. Excited for the year, and you know, hopefully you guys will be out to a game too.
I'll think about it.
He'll be first one in the gym, trust me.
I know he will be. He's always been. So, cool. No, I appreciate you guys having me on, though, today.
Yeah, no, this was great. Again, like, we always love our guests to be passionate about the film, and you are clearly that. So, always leads to a great conversation.
Yeah.
Darren, what you got coming?
Podcast.
He's going to say podcast, yeah.
Podcast. Oh, my God.
Yeah, pushing we just did out. One. Didn't stuff. We do the last one? Was that 2 days ago?
Yeah, no, 500 Monday. Days of summer.
No, well, that was that one. The Bond one we did on
the Bond
Monday,
one.
Tuesday. I can't remember.
Yeah,
the Bond. Yeah, so we've been.
And then we just released Amy Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
that's we are in high gear. Yeah. And the Amy Winehouse one. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
No. It's really good.
I mean, it's a documentary, so it's not good.
I love that. Yeah. And her story is crazy. I mean, her just her life, yeah. The trials, the tribulations that she went through.
Yeah. Me? What do I got?
You got any shows coming up?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Okay.
November 17th at 6:45 at the Delancey. I'll be playing a full band reggae set. I've even written a new song for the occasion. So
awesome.
Excited to debut that. And then recorded a song with my boy JT, our co-host on the 007 podcast. We recorded it last week, so hopefully I'll have a new release coming in the next. I don't want to give a timeline. We'll see, but coming awesome. Soon. So yeah, I'm on.
Coming soon. Hopefully awesome. Before the holidays, right?
It's called Inferno, so I don't know if I want. It's not a Christmas song, really. I don't
it
know.
Sounds like come on, Inferno.
It's literally like inspired by Dante's Inferno about a guy going to hell to save his like lost love. So definitely not no,
perfect
no,
for
it's not a Christmas
for
song.
Christmas.
Yeah,
press that on vinyl and hand them out.
Yeah, with the green and red coloring. Yeah, sounds like a good idea. cool, but again, well, one more time, Jess, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you for the suggestion and. We would love to have you back for another one, if you can think of another film.
Yeah.
Hoosiers? Keep it basketball?
White man can't jump. You know, that's more up my alley.
White man can't jump. Oh!
Actually, you know what? If I'm going to request and suggest one, it's going to be He Got Game.
Ooh.
Ray Allen, Jesus Shuttlesworth. Like, if we're really going to get it.
Mm-hmm. And it has a classic,
it is
a classic like main song, like essentially is based off of. Yeah. Okay. That's long overdue too. So we'll probably have to do that one as well. Yeah. All right. Yeah. You're locked in. You're locked in for that one too.
Love it. Thanks for having me so much.
Well, everybody, make sure to follow our show. Please like and subscribe us at the Tracklist Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. And until our next podcast, which should be soon, I'm Darren Jenkins.
I'm Chris Saunders.
And this was The Tracklist. We don't always sync this up so much, so it's terrible. See you guys. We'll talk to you soon.